Hello, boys and girls. This is Wrestling Rock on Tour RJ City, and you are listening to the Kings of the Ring. If you like it, great. And if not, well, I didn't really have that much to do with it.
You're listening to the Kings of the Ring Podcast Network.
This is Steve Tatai, the writer-director of your favorite monthly wrestling show, Kings of the Ring. The most impactful season ever continues in the newest episode as Julian Kane's lost it for Vance Armstrong after Thor Hansen psyched out his would-be successor. AMW is spiraling. The Alliance Civil War continues behind the scenes. Gabriel Angel worries about Michael. Jesse James had to make adjustments after Vladimir Rykov accidentally broke pal Bo Riggs' ribs. Beautiful Barry Lovelace dispenses unsolicited wrestling advice. Dan Sanders falsely accused Corporal Punishment of being a druggie. The Apocalypse arrived in Atlanta, and the Diamond Club dominates the WVBS airwaves. So let's see what happens next in the Ultimate Wrestling soap opera, Kings of the Ring. Kings of the Ring is intended for mature audiences. Today's episode would be rated MA for profanity, drug use, sexual dialogue, and graphic sexual descriptions. Sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kings of the Ring.
All right, I'm here with the Diamond Club, World Champion Diamond Donnie Gold, World Tag Team Champion the Pretty Boy Willie Dean, and the Best Kenny West. And who's this? Hey, wait a second, I remember you. You were the lawyer for Jimmy Buck, God rest his soul.
That is correct, Mr. Devlew. I am Duncan Ryan Clark, formerly from the law firm of Dewey Cheedman Howe, as I now have broken off with my own special practice with only one client, and that is Diamond Club Enterprises.
What?
Yes. Through my legal guidance, I have helped Mr. Gould, Mr. Dean, and Mr. West incorporate said Diamond Club into an official international corporation.
Are you serious?
Yes, Mr. Devlew. And our first course of action is to call on Daniel Hawkins and the World Wrestling Alliance Board of Directors to issue a lifetime suspension against one Jesse Tiberius James.
What? That's outrageous. Why?
Because of the illegal, dangerous, and lethal weapon he has used in the ring against Mr. Gould.
What are you talking about?
The illegal weaponized prosthetic.
English, please.
The boot, Devil.
Yes, the layman's term is boot, but this is no ordinary article of footwear. It is an adamantium vibranium alloy infused with carbine and asbestos.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
And used on multiple occasions to inflict irreparable physical harm to the World Heavyweight Champion, putting his very life at risk.
That boot is a cast. Because the Diamond Club, your clients, broke his leg.
Erroneous. Erroneous. Objection, Your Honor.
We're not in court. What are you doing?
The origins and causation of Mr. James' injury was never proven in a court of law to be the fault of the Diamond Club theretofore.
We saw it. I was there when they did
it. Nah. You listen here, Delvo. I know what Jesse James is doing because it's what he's always done. He's cheating because he knows the only way he can beat Diamond Danny Gould is by cheating.
You cheat every time you're in the ring with him. You just don't know when to shut up, do you, Delvo? Look what you done did. No. Our lawyer's huffing and puffing because he's getting ready to file a lawsuit against you.
Slander. Libel.
He can do that. You're damn right, Ken. And you know why? Because we are the Diamond Club, and we do whatever we want. And you know why we do whatever we want? Because you are surrounded by nothing but champions.
When the bellhop yells champ, we don't know who he's talking to, since we all got the gold.
This is wrestling at its finest. The Diamond Club. Draped from head to toe in diamonds, because we are the best. Kenny West and Willie Dean are the World Tag Team Champions, and yours truly holds the 10 pounds of gold that signifies the World Heavyweight Championship. And Jesse James? I don't care if it's a rally. I don't care if it's Greensboro. I don't care if it's Charlottesville. No matter where I go, I fly first class, driven in limousines, surrounded by the most beautiful women in the world, the smartest lawyers money can buy, and the best tag team in the land. Because I am Diamond Danny Gold, and this is the Diamond Club. Oh, yeah.
Good. Right, boys, nice work, as always.
Is it okay, Jesse?
Sure was, Brian. I think this is going to work. I like the chemistry you have with these guys. And I like making the Diamond Club bigger. What do you think, Donnie?
Yeah, I think even the manager helps the group. You going to go in the road?
We'll try it out and see if he's still up for it.
Oh, boy, I sure am. I'm just trying not to get in the way. Just appreciate you letting me do this at all.
I know you were comedy writing partners with Jimmy. Yeah, we all wish he was still here. Yeah. And I thought bringing you back, well, that might be the right thing to do.
I'm sure he's smiling up at us right now.
A good one, Brian. Now, Brian, you and Donnie can go. Willie and Kenny hang tight. I want to cut separate promos for the Savannah, Columbia, and the Fieldhouse, Charleston, since it'll be you two working the Rock and Rollers on top.
You got it, boss.
Okay,
where are my crutches?
A PA hands him his crutches.
In my boot.
He puts on his cowboy hat and holds his boot and steps in front of the camera.
Okay, Sammy, count me in.
5, 4.
Kings of the Ring, episode 54. Miss Kitty.
And now, Savannah, Georgia, your main event. From Atlanta, Georgia, at a total combined weight of 456 pounds, the Rock and Rollers.
Vance Armstrong, wearing pony high tops, gray sweatpants pulled up to his knees, and a Gold's Gym tank top, steps out of the ring onto the empty arena floor of Market Square Arena in Indianapolis, hours before bell time. Doing his best to get over the humiliation and failure of his Madison Square Garden match, they're doing some drills and running ropes in the ring.
Looking good, Vance. Go take a bite.
Vance hops to the floor and screws off the metal cap to the glass bottle of Gatorade, and takes a big swig of the bright green drink and heads out, when he notices the custom-made GQ suit-wearing Julian Kane entering. Having so little face-to-face time with Julian, he musters up a big smile, hoping Julian saw how hard he's working.
Hi, Julian.
Julian gives him a look he can't quite recognize before looking straight ahead.
Julian.
Vance shrugs on his way out. Julian nears Louis the Greek, leans against the ring apron with his hands in his pockets, while Louis is leant over, elbows on the ring apron.
I signed off yesterday with Nigel's limey friend. NBC is official. Even though your Vance Armstrong screwed the pooch, Sean Ashby wasn't squared off completely.
My Vance Armstrong?
But they don't like Mobutu Zulu. Think he's too controversial.
That means he can be a Hercules Harris again.
Hercules who? No. It means we need to make a change. Turn him babyface on tonight's TV taping. I want him to be a lovable cartoon babyface. That'll soften him up and NBC will love it. And he'll be better for the cartoon, too.
Okay, I talked to Jack and Zulu and we figured it out.
And why is Vance Armstrong still here?
What you mean?
I thought it was clear I wanted him erased. Fired.
I thought you'd just pull him off TV and give him time. He had potential, Julian.
The common trait amongst the most successful people in America. Knowing when to cut your losses. Just now was the last time I want to see him in an EWF ring.
With the sun shining through the windows at the Howard Johnson Hotel in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, All-American Dan Sanders in his jogging suit, carrying his suitcase on the way to the Kolf Center, passes by the hotel bar when he sees Nellie Gotch at a small table in the corner, alone with a glass of bourbon. He stops and walks over. Nellie reacts to the expression on his face.
It's just one drink. I swear, it's just one.
Dan, unsure if he should believe Nellie after all the lies people have been presenting to him lately, moves on anyway.
Nellie, listen, we need to talk. Truth is, I've been wrestling on borrowed time. When Julian Kane replaced me with Thor in 84, it was actually the right thing to do. I was probably done anyway, but my pride and the way Julian cast me out just kept me in the ring longer than I should have. So with all the years I put in for Julian's father, I think I deserve to go out on my own terms, but Julian took that away from me.
Wait. You want to retire? You can't. We need you.
I won't leave you high and dry. I want to do what Julian never gave me the chance to do, and that's pass the torch properly.
Pass the torch, huh? To who?
Corporal punishment.
Punishment?
You know what? He's the right kind of babyface. You make him champion, and you've got money. Big money. Put me in the ring with him, and I will make that kid. I promise you.
Yeah, right, but never put you in the ring with him. Babyface matches don't draw, you know that. I mean, that's why Jonathan Cain used Antonio Saberski to transition the title from Dominic Dante to you.
It's why I'm gonna turn heel. Get it?
You've never been heel your entire career.
I know. And this is how I want to go out, by putting Jerry over. All the way over.
Fine. What do I care? You got it all figured out anyway. Do whatever you want, Dan. Just book the whole thing. I'll see you at the golf.
At a brown folding table with metal folding chairs, Louis the Greek gathers Mobutu Zulu, Big Samoan Tama, now called Kong the Destroyer, and their manager, grizzled old veteran, Handsome Jack Trades.
Okay, maybe there's good news for you, Harris. We're gonna turn you babyface tonight.
Zulu's permanent frown almost vanishes for a moment.
Say what? So I could be Hercules?
No, you still Mobutu Zulu, but you be babyface.
Just like I thought.
I think easiest, faster way is for Jack to kick him out. How do we do this, Jack? If I'm going to kick Zulu out, it'll be because he fucks up somehow. So, let's keep it simple. Who are we working tonight?
Louis looks at the clipboard.
Let's see. Zulu working with Jabbar, match 3. Kong. Working Tommy Aloha, number 10.
Oh, easy. Let's do it in the Kong-Tommy match.
Tommy. Tommy boy, come on over. We're doing an angle
for the finish.
Kong holds Tommy. Zulu gets in to bonk him in the head with his African spear. Tommy slips out. Zulu hits Kong instead. Tommy bumps Zulu out of the ring. Hits Kong with the finish. 1, 2, 3. Then I come in all pissed off at you, Zulu. You know, pointing my finger at you, yelling at you for being the shit and costing Kong the match.
Tommy comes over and high fives Harris.
Finally, we get to work together one time. Jack, that kind of a simple mistake. Is that enough to justify kicking him out?
It will be after I get on the mic.
Okay, I trust you, Jack. We do that tonight, then.
Louis pats the table and gets up and finds Vance Armstrong at the other end of the locker room, lacing up his wrestling boots. He sits beside him and waits for Marauder number 2 to step away.
Vance, we all saw your match in New York, eh?
Vance nods.
I always say this. Julian, let me tell me truth. How you feel in the ring as wrestler?
I don't know, Louis. This wrestling is a lot harder than I thought.
Yes. And it don't matter how great the athlete you are. Some guy got it, or some guy don't. Charlie Gotch. His gimmick is a silver medal Olympic freestyle. But shooters, you don't make Olympic wrestling team. Guy who beat them in qualifier from Iowa, Joey Lasseter. Lasseter, he go on win gold medal for U.S. team. He beat best wrestler in entire planet, while Charlie Gotch, he watch from home. Olympic turn, both turn pro wrestler. Lasseter, the sheets, quit at the 6 month. Charlie, wrestle 30 years, become world heavyweight champion, become one of the greatest wrestler all time.
Louis puts a reassuring hand on Vance's shoulder.
It don't matter how great an athlete you are. Some guy got it, some guy don't.
It's awkward for me. So unnatural. I'm a lot more comfortable in a real fight. Real combat.
It's okay, Vance. God have a different plan for you.
Julian got me so pumped up to do this, and I was so pissed at my friends for ditching me. I felt like...
He can't put it into words.
I don't know. I just can't do this.
You give it all you got. And it's not for you. So what? You leave, it'll die. You're proud. And hey, your last match, Madison Square Garden. Not too shabby, eh?
He smiles and they shake hands warmly. Sweaty bruised brothers are working the Fantastic Ones in Shreveport, Louisiana, and the fans are hot. With Steve Roberts in his black tights with white boots, is trapped in a chin lock from Bruce Brother Number 2, while the fans give their support. Chris Stanley and Peyton Thomas observe from the arena floor.
Can't say they're as over as Rock and Rollers. God damn, Fantastic Ones all over. Listen to these people. At least more than they were as regular old Wendell McCoy and Steve Roberts. Nice work, Chris.
Yeah, it's working all right. Wendell told me they had 100 glossy photos, and they're almost all gone.
Wendell told me he's seeing a lot more rats these days, too, because he really ain't that good looking.
And Bert likes him?
Oh, yeah. He always liked him in his reliable hands, but never really knew what to do with him. And goodbye with Michael Angel being back, I can already see more girls in the stands.
Okay, boys. Gonna start you on the B-tour with the smaller crowds you can get acclimated to the South and the fans. And I like what you did with that hair. How'd you boys color it?
They don't make blue or red hair dye, so we use spray paint.
Really? I reckon your pillow will get all sticky and blue.
Who cares?
Remember Chris Stanley? He says his tape of some Japanimation film, Fist of the North Star, and the mutants had colored mohawks.
I don't understand a word you just said. We're going to do an introductory interview and send these tapes to syndication in the town you're going to wrestle at. But a lot of these folks laying eyes on you for the first time. So we do it here, not live, so we can run it a few times if you screw up.
Yeah, we got it, Jesse. We've done this before. We're professionals. Just roll it and we'll hit it in one try.
Shark whips his arms around, bulging his veins out of his neck, and Buzzsaw beats on his chest, causing big red welts to get fired up.
Wrestling fans, coming soon to a town near you, the newest addition to the World Wrestling Alliance, Shark and Buzzsaw, the Apocalypse.
This is my brother Shark, and I'm Buzzsaw, and like Jay Delvo said, we are the Apocalypse. We've been busting heads in Japan and all across the Midwest, from Chicago to Denver. But now we're here to face the best, and that's in the WWA.
We're from Halsted Street in Chicago, the toughest neighborhood in the world. We taught Mr. T how to fight, and the Hell's Angels how to ride. We were abandoned as babies, and grew up in the alleyways of the South Side, beating up school kids with their lunch money, and eating raw meat for sustenance. We're mutants from the future. We are the Apocalypse, the end of all civilization and sanity. We don't know who our parents are, and we don't care. We only care about beating people up. Right, Buzzsaw?
Buzzsaw is looking up at the ceiling, lost in thought.
Hang on a second. Why are you so hung up on us being orphans?
What? I'm not.
Well, you said it twice.
No, I didn't.
I mean, once it sounds like, okay, but then you brought up a second time about us being orphans, and we don't love our real parents. I mean, if I was abandoned, I'd want to know who they were and why they left us in an alley. I mean, wouldn't you?
That's the point, dipshit. We don't care, and we're mean.
Oh, you mean like we shove all our feelings deep inside, and it comes out as anger and hurting people?
Yeah, sure. Can we proceed?
Oh, okay, yeah, I got it. All right, can we start over, Jesse?
I'm starting to see why Charlie got rid of you.
What was that?
Nothing. Don't start over. We'll edit and post. You just keep going. You start, Buzzsaw.
We don't care who you are in the WWA. Any tag team, any singles wrestler, we're putting you 6 feet under if you step in the ring with us. And if our real dad just, like, showed up one day and sat in the front row, I wouldn't care, and neither would Shark. And Dad, I'd tell you that right to your face.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's take a time out here. Justin, right?
Jesse puts his arm around Buzzsaw.
Now, boy, I think you're overthinking this. Cutting a wrestling promo, it really ain't that deep. Shark is just, you know, talking tough about how mean y'all are and you don't like nobody. That's it. Don't look for deeper meaning or reason. This ain't Juilliard. It's a wrestling show. Now, let's go again.
Okay, got it. We don't care who you are. Holy shit.
Cut.
I just realized. Shark, is this about you? I mean, we always knew you were adopted, but is this how you feel about your real parents? Why you're so angry all the time?
Jesse takes his hat off and rubs his head. Shark turns to Jesse.
Is it too late to just make me the Third Reich off, brother, or something?
I'm sorry, guys. I just got distracted. It won't happen again. I'm sorry. I'm ready this time. I won't say nothing.
Kings of the Ringo. We'll be back after these messages.
Thank you. California raisins from the California vineyards.
Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine?
Sounds better than what I got.
Ours, as you know, is not a perfect world. May I? That's why it's so refreshing when something really perfect comes along. Like Diet Coke. Tastes great straight. Or on the rocks. Yet it's just one calorie. That's why Diet Coke is the perfect soft drink. For an imperfect world.
Just for the taste of it.
Diet Coke.
We now return to Kings of the Ring.
George Gilmore is still up in his office at his typewriter, the Florida moon shining into his office in the middle of the night, waking his wife, questioning her husband's retirement.
Honey, are you coming to bed? You've been up all night.
I will soon, darling. Bert, Raylan are all quite preoccupied, but I'm not. Daniel Hawkins is not going to get away with this. Certainly not because of that British prick, Billington. Daniel Hawkins is neither the face nor voice of the World Wrestling Alliance, and I'll be damned if he's gonna promote his sham of an operation as the WWA. If our votes cannot stop him, and Donnie Gold won't stop him, then the law of the land will.
What do you mean?
I'm filing a lawsuit, and we are going to court. We'll go to arbitration, and the court will no doubt rule in our favor. They'll have to go back to being a CW, and while we're at it, we're gonna expel Daniel Hawkins from the World Wrestling Alliance itself.
Corporal Punishment is wrestling in the Rochester Civic Center for TV, and in the booth beside Freddie Fingler is none other than the AMW champion, All-American Dan Sanders, who sounds a little out of character.
You know, I seen this Corporal Punishment out here carrying the U.S. flag each and every week. Well, let me ask you something, Freddie Fingler. Is he a real patriot? Does he really fight for all Americans and for freedom and justice?
Well, yes.
No. The answer is no. I think this guy stinks, to be honest with you.
What is your problem with Corporal Punishment?
My problem? My problem? You think I'm the one with the problem? Let me tell you, my problem, Freddie Fingler, Corporal Punishment is a fake and a fraud. You got it? The only real American AMW is me, yours truly. Tell me, what's my nickname?
The All-American?
Exactly. There's your proof right there.
Well, that doesn't prove anything.
The All-American Dan Sanders represents America, not Corporal Punishment. You're guilty in this too, Fangler. You are guilty.
How?
You promoted his lie.
You can't. I mean, what are you...
Every time he talks about how great America is, you just stood there instead of calling him a f***ing liar. He doesn't believe it.
You can't. I mean, what?
The All-American, Dan Sanders, is the only real American in AMW because I was champion for a decade and the biggest and best city in the world, NYC, New York City. I defended championships in New York, in Tokyo, in Chicago, the Carolinas, you name it. I've defended the title there. I've done it all. You keep talking about Corporal Punishment being the best thing since sliced cheese.
Well, he's a great wrestler, and the fans love him.
Oh, come on, Fangler. Who'd he ever beat? The tomato can in the ring? Corporal Punishment is nothing compared to the All-American, me, Dan Sanders. He doesn't have the scientific skills I have. He doesn't have the discipline I have. He couldn't last 10 minutes with me.
Now, that is insulting.
Insulting? It's the truth. I'll prove it. Next week, you get the AMW Championship Committee to sign that. You get it? He won't last 10 minutes with the champ. I'll wrestle circles around that guy.
With most fans already cleared out, in the parking lot behind the Civic Center in Shreveport, Louisiana, Gabriel Angel catches up to Brother Michael standing on the curb.
Hey, Michael. Roll with me. Let's get a pizza like we used to. Oh, hey, Gabe. No thanks, Dad's picking me up.
For what? Go find some girls at the bar for you to pretend you want to screw?
I don't got time for this.
Thought you were done living a lie.
Michael stopped.
You quit yelling that kind of shit. Who says I wasn't living a lie before? And now I'm being who I really am.
Oh, come on. You saying I didn't walk in on you at age 13, looking out the window or jerking off to the farmhand on your mama's car? Fuck you, Gabe. Fuck you.
Michael paces around anxiously, looking desperately for their dad to arrive.
I came to terms with what you are a long time ago, and I don't care. I love you just the same. I'll always be my brother no matter what.
Michael stops.
And I know getting dad's shine ain't enough reason to change everything that you are.
Easy for you to say, Gabe. You're always what daddy wanted in a son. Cool guy, tough guy, got all the girls.
Not what he wanted in a champion. You had all the tools, Michael. You still do.
You never wanted it, Gabe. Can you blame Pops for looking at me? I mean, you never had the passion or the drive in that ring.
You didn't either, Michael. But I do remember. You were as talented an artist I ever done seen.
I gave that up because of daddy. He didn't want no sissy artist. He wanted a champion he could make money from.
Yeah, that's both of us. But he ain't had much time for me for nothing these days.
Well, that's your fault, Gabe. I mean, you don't care what you do in that ring, and you don't care if daddy loves you, likes you, or hates your guts.
I don't.
Well, I do.
Okay. But Michael, there's got to be an easier way.
Is there?
Living like this, fighting what you are, it almost puts you in the grave once. This ain't good for your soul.
My soul? You know what Daddy's pastor says about people like me?
Fuck Pastor Williams.
Watch your tongue, Gabe. He's the head of our church.
Listen to yourself. Still kowtowing, defending that creep. Same guy who says you're an abomination. Well, I know you ain't. And I know God don't think you are either. No matter what Pastor Williams says.
You got a lot of nerve judging me.
I ain't judging you.
You are, Gabe. You are. And you ain't in no position to. I ain't the one getting arrested and thrown in jail, sinking the company.
Michael sees Burke pull up and walks off.
Come on, boy. Let's find a new titty bar downtown.
Coming, Daddy.
The McAllister Fieldhouse in Charleston, South Carolina. Half of the WWA All-Star Wrestling roster peters into the locker room, getting ready for another rare show without Diamond Dynamite Gold or Outlaw Jesse James in the main event. So they're wrestling on a different show this night in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jay Delva walks in with a notebook and a big smile on his face as he looks around for the Rock and Rollers before finding them amidst the boys, including Barry Lovelace, Miss Kitty, the New Apocalypse, and others.
Bobby Lee, Davey Boy, catch this. You're gonna shit a brick. I just called in our Savannah Civic Center numbers to Hawkins. We sold 7,132 tickets for $54,565. Last time we ran Savannah with Jesse and Donnie on top, 6,986 for $72,800.
Oh, shit and biscuit.
Congratulations, Rock and Rollers. You outdrew Diamond Donnie Gold.
And fucking Jesse James, motherfucker. I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it.
I had a feeling the crowd felt a little bigger somehow.
Because we were more over than those guys. Give me the fucking world title right now, brother.
I got their will, Kenny. They went and found some no candy.
Hey, don't even bother. They're just going to try to steal our heat and claim it was that Diamond Club bullshit.
Nice work, fellas.
Beautiful Barry Lovelace gives them a thumbs up.
Yeah, who knew the midgets could draw a house?
Hardy har har. Now I'm going to find David Boy. I don't want to put Kenny and Willie over too
Barry
much.
Lovelace turns to Buzzsaw.
Oh, you guys got a great look. Unusual, a little strange, but I'm sure the fans can't take their eyes off you. But all them muscles on top of muscles.
Buzzsaw nods.
Thanks, Barry.
No, you two work hard. Keep your mouth shut, your ears open. Maybe you can work on top one day.
Actually, Barry, we work quite a lot of main events for Charlie Gutch up at AMW.
No offense, but selling out some Indian reservation in Wisconsin ain't the same as an Omni in Atlanta. This is big time, baby. Now, I done headlined all the big venues up and down the Midlands.
Jesus Christ, Lovelace. Just shut the hell up.
No. Now you listen here, Shark. You've been riding me ever since we met at the Super Bowl of Ransom. You don't know diddly about drawing money or being a top guy. You only worked tag teams in your short career. You're still green. Me, I've been working towns for over a decade, doing it all, including carrying the biggest territory as world champion. Now once you've done that, then come to me. Until then, you're the one that needs to shut the hell up.
Are you being serious right now?
Shark stands up in front of everyone.
You're a joke. A mascara wearing Nancy Boy.
You think I'm a joke? You looked in the mirror lately, buddy? Beautiful Bear is just a gimmick.
I take this shit off and I'm a good old boy like anybody in this ring, with the most beautiful girl in the world at my side. You, all day long, you look like a blue-haired freak, like a SeaWorld reject.
Yeah,
you look like Shamu. What do you think, boys? Buzzsaw and Shamu.
Shark doesn't like being laughed at.
Do you know that everyone laughs at you behind your back? Nobody takes you seriously or your advice. You're a joke. You're a loser. A geek. Everyone knows that. But you know what else you are? A fraud. You're not even a real world champion. You're a jobber who received a gift.
What the hell are you talking about?
Barry's just ribbing.
Listen here, beautiful Barry, and you listen good. The only reason you even held the world title for that magic month was because Daniel Hawkins fucked Miss Kitty.
Whoa!
You must be high or something, Shark. Just shut the hell up. Let's go, Barry.
Talking about my wife like that. You take that back right now, or you and me are going to go round and round. And Jesse James made me his world champion.
You didn't, Barry. I know the truth.
And what truth is that?
Dmitri Rykov saw it with his own two eyes.
What? Dmitri? You don't know what you're talking about. He's lying, Barry. Don't believe a word.
Everyone in the locker room is listening. You can hear a pin drop.
Sharp, cut it. Kayfabe, no.
In Tampa, at the Hyatt Hotel, Dmitri ended up on the top floor looking for smokes.
Kitty is frozen and looks at Dmitri. He looks back at her and apologizes with his eyes and covers his head with a towel.
The same top floor Daniel Hawkins always stays.
He's lying, Barry. Don't believe a word.
And he saw your wife come out of Daniel Hawkins' room with his cum still dripping out of her.
You son of a bitch!
Barry, stop!
Barry charges at Shark, who immediately uppercuts him and knocks him out in a heartbeat. Kitty whips out her switchblade and stabs Shark right in the chest.
You fucking bitch! You stabbed me! You stabbed!
Wrestlers grab her.
How dare you! I'll kill you, you son of a bitch! I'll fucking kill you!
Holy shit. A sticky situation with Miss Kitty and Daniel Hawkins just blew up in her face. More on that in the Breaking Kayfabe podcast, available exclusively to patrons. Also exclusive to patrons was this week's deleted scene, the promo from Outlaw Jesse James's retort to the Diamond Club's objections to his boot. Catch all this at patreon.com/kingsotr as your way to support the show and get some exclusives, including the ability to be in the show. Now, about 20% of our audience is from outside the United States, so I want to give a special shout-out to everyone around the world. The UK leads that pack and has pulled away from Canada as a clear number two. Guess they want more Brian Lovejoy. But thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you at episode 55, when Julian Kane goes to Montreal to find his Empire 3 main event.